The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Lord's Day, the first letter of St. John, the fourth chapter, the 16th and the 21st verses. God is love, and this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must love his brother also. When we come together as we do every Lord's Day to celebrate Christ's Holy Supper, which is the pledge and foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb, that heavenly feast of love and joy, we're conscious of the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As St. Paul plainly says in his letter to the Christians at Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're also citizens of the country in which we live. And in the history of the country we live in, June the 19th is a significant date, because it was on June the 19th, 1865, two whole months after General Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Army surrendered at Appomattox, that the Union General Gordon Granger arrived with his troops in faraway Galveston, Texas, and informed the African Americans living in that city that now they were no longer slaves, but free. That was 160 years ago, but the effects of more than 200 years of slavery in this land are still with us to this very day. To be sure, much progress has been made. But I happen to be old enough to remember how things were here in Baltimore until in 1954 the Supreme Court mandated the end of racial segregation in our schools, a mandate which sadly, though not unpredictably, met with fierce, even violent resistance, also here in Baltimore. Until then, Baltimore was a strictly segregated city. Not only were the public schools segregated, there were, in fact, whole neighborhoods which excluded African Americans and, as it happens, also Jews. Restaurants, motion picture theaters, swimming pools were also strictly segregated. All this is still within living memory. And as I've gotten to know older members of this congregation, I've learned of how they themselves, in fact, suffered this kind of discrimination in subtle and in not so subtle ways. It is a shameful history, and it's no secret that the end is not yet. From the very beginning of the human story, human beings seem to have had a perverse need to find some other human beings to look down on, to hold in contempt, to treat with disdain. And the terrible truth is that in the history of this country, it's not only African Americans who have been abused in this way, though no other group has been enslaved. Just think of the hysteria during the First World War, which sometimes led to actual violence against German Americans. Or think of the way in which perfectly loyal Japanese Americans were rounded up and interned in prison camps during the Second World War. And the terrible truth, of course, is that we Americans have by no means cornered the market on this sort of thing. Just think of the Turkish genocide of at least 600,000, possibly even more than 1 million Armenians during the First World War. And who can forget the German Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews perished during the Second World War? But the sad fact of the matter is that whenever some particular group of people, some race, some ethnic group is subjected to such cruelty, their oppressors have in their hearts already dismissed them as being beneath contempt, indeed, as being in some sense subhuman. Subhuman. Their oppressors have quite simply forgotten, if indeed they ever knew, the dignity of human nature as created in the image of God. In the epistle for this Lord's Day, St. John, who has been called the Apostle of Love, writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must love his brother also." Every human being exists because God has called that person out of nothingness into being. Every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being is loved by God. And for that reason, anything that hurts or harms another human being in body, mind, or spirit is a sin, not only against that person, but also against God. Last Sunday, Trinity Sunday, we remembered the mystery that God himself is not solitary, but a communion of persons in love. And because you and I And every human being are made in the image of God, who is communion in love. We are called by God to live in mutual love. We are, of course, shocked and appalled by the random violence that continues to claim the lives of innocent human beings. But truth compels us to admit that this kind of violence is but the outward expression of the hatred, the indifference, the cruelty that so easily finds a place in all human hearts. And so we are all called to repentance. And what indeed is the parable told by Jesus in the gospel for this day but a clarion call to repentance? It's, of course, one of the most familiar parables of Jesus, painting as it does such a vivid picture of the rich man and poor Lazarus, both in this life and the life to come. And this parable is the only one of Jesus' parables in which there's a person with a name, the name Lazarus. And the name Lazarus means God is my helper. And what this name tells us is that despite his poverty and hunger, Lazarus, in fact, had the true riches, because he trusted in God, who in the hour of death sent the holy angels to come and carry him to paradise. But what about the rich man? Jesus says only this: the rich man died and was buried. The rich man died and was buried. It was that great preacher, St. John Chrysostom. He has the name Chrysostom, which means golden mouth, because he was such a wonderful preacher. St. John Chrysostom said that even when the rich man was alive, his merciless soul was already buried by couches, rugs, furnishings, sweet oils, perfumes, and large quantities of food and drink, and by flatterers. Yes, the rich man was, as we heard in the parable, clothed in expensive purple and fine linen garments, and feasted sumptuously every day. But he was, in fact, an empty man. An empty man whose merciless heart just couldn't be bothered with the poor beggar at his door, who, unlike him, had the true riches of a heart that trusted in God. As the psalmist long before had prayed, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. St. Luke informs us that Jesus told this parable to the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Well, you and I are most certainly not Pharisees, nor are we fantastically wealthy people. But I ask you this, by way of comparison with so many people, aren't most of us really quite well off? And I ask you this, despite the real poverty that exists even here in America, aren't we as a nation quite well off by way of comparison with countless human beings all around the world? Yes, aren't you and I, and indeed we as a nation, like the rich man, with poor Lazarus languishing in poverty at his door? And so on this Lord's Day, we're being called to repentance as we see in Jesus' parable the consequences of hardening our hearts to God's call to live as those made in the image of God, whose heart is full of love that forever overflows. And because of our failure to do just that, you and I can only be like Lazarus, those who trust in God, who trust in his great mercy toward sinners, his great mercy shown in his eternal Son, who for our sakes and for the whole lost world in fact became one like Lazarus at the rich man's door, one cast out of the city and covered with terrible sores, cruelly nailed to the cross, exposed to the contemptuous gaze of his smug, self-satisfied enemy, suffering all this so that you and I might not be cast out forever, but might, like poor Lazarus, be carried by the angels to the paradise of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.